Pioneer Audio Productions proudly presents our feature presentation.
Captain's Log, Stardate 55008.4. It's been 9 months since we began exploring the Obanati sector at the far reaches of the Federation frontier. Now, with our mission complete, we're heading home under full impulse power. During the course of our mission, Computer, pause recording.
Did you see that Borean's face after he took those medications? And to believe he thinks it makes him younger. Well, I'm definitely not recommending his product to anyone.
Well, Commander, other cultures have different views on what looks good. But I must say I agree with you. When he came into my ready room yesterday, I was a bit surprised. It looked like he had stretched rubber for skin.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Oh well, all I'm hoping for is an uneventful voyage back to Starbase 415. I'm just too exhausted to do anything right now.
After the Devorian territorial dispute with the Antokens, I could definitely do with some peace and quiet. Computer, one cup of warm milk. Would you like anything, Commander?
You and your warm milk. Aren't you ever going to grow up? Cup of chai tea, as usual.
Computer, one cup of chai tea, hot. Jennifer, only a wise insomniac knows the value of a good cup of warm milk.
Of course, sir. Thank you. Well, maybe you'd sleep better if you didn't spend so many evenings working on your stellar cartography holo program.
Perhaps. Oh, by the way, when are you going to tell me what happened at the Interplanetary Trade Commission meeting last week?
Oh yes, I forgot. Ambassador Laval from Corvallis 3. You do remember her. She was on board a few months ago.
Oh yes. Gosh, she must be at least 7 feet tall.
7'2", actually. She likes telling everyone she meets. Well, anyway, sir, she got up to give a speech on trade disputes with her...
Bridge to Captain Romano.
Yes, Mr. Satak?
Sir, long-range sensors have detected a massive neutrino surge near the Lukai Planetary Nebula. Knowing your liking to spatial anomalies, I thought you might want to be notified.
Understood. I'm on my way. Well, this could be interesting. It sure beats catching up on log entries.
Aye, sir.
Report.
We are continuing to gather sensor data on the anomaly. It appears to be approximately 14,000 kilometers in diameter and is growing in intensity.
Mr. Landstrom, are we close enough to get it on screen?
On screen, Captain.
Computer, magnify grid 492 factor 400. I don't understand it. We passed that nebula less than 3 months ago. There weren't any signs of neutrino anomalies then.
Captain, sensor readings of the anomaly show synchronized neutrino pulses with subspace variances.
A wormhole?
No, sir, not a wormhole, but a subspace vortex. It works along the same principles as a wormhole. It connects two points in space, but requires massive amounts of energy to materialize in normal space, even for short periods of time. They remain most of the time in subspace. If stable, this would be the first ever recorded.
A subspace vortex. Any idea where it leads?
Long-range sensors cannot get through the interference, but if we send a subspace probe through to the other side, we might be able to determine where it leads, and if it is stable.
How long would it take us to get there, Mr. Bergen?
About 32 minutes, at warp 6, sir.
Are there any ships closer than we are?
Actually, sir, the Orlando is passing through the nebula right now.
I wonder if they've detected it yet. The nebula distorts all sensor reception, especially when at close proximity to it. Mr. Landstrom, get me Captain McFay on the Orlando.
Aye, sir. She's responding.
On screen. Stacy, how are you?
Not bad.
Our sensors have detected some type of neutrino anomaly, possibly a subspace vortex, at the center of the Lukai Planetary Nebula. Can you confirm those readings?
Affirmative. We've just started to take readings, but we're only getting partial data due to the nebula's radiation.
If you don't mind, I'd like to see this for myself. We can be there in a half an hour.
And add another section to your hologram, no doubt.
A subspace vortex, stable or not, is a rare discovery. It'd be a great addition. I'll send you a copy when it's finished. The kids will love it.
Well, as I always say, two eyes are better than one. See you in a half an hour.
We're on our way. Romano out. Mr. Landstrom, set a course for the nebula. Warp 6. Engage when ready.
Aye, sir. Course set. ETA 29 minutes, 27 seconds through the nebula perimeter.
Captain, we're continuing on a direct course for the nebula. We should arrive on schedule in about 14 minutes.
Very well. Romano to engineering.
Dubois here, Captain.
Mr. Dubois, do you think you can rig a probe that could withstand a trip through a subspace vortex?
I think I can, sir. I'll get back to you in a few minutes.
Keep me informed. Bridge out.
Captain, long-range sensors have detected a massive energy surge inside the anomaly. I believe a ship or ships are exiting the vortex.
Can you tell me how many ships there are?
It appears to be 4 vessels. However, we are too far away from the nebula to identify them.
Well, I think we'd better hail the Orlando, just in case they haven't detected them. So far, all we know is that sensor reception decreases as you get closer to the nebula. Commander, get me the Orlando.
Captain, I've detected possible weapons fire in the center of the nebula.
Sir, we've lost the sensor lock on the Orlando.
Tactical alert. All hands, stand by battle stations. How long to the nebula?
If we increase to maximum warp, 4 minutes.
Take us to warp 9.5.
Sir, I wouldn't recommend going to that speed. Excelsior-class vessels are not designed to exceed warp 8.7.
We don't have a choice. I know what she's capable of. Romano to engineering. Prepare the engines to go to warp 9.5.
Warp 9.5? But sir, we can't...
I'm aware of the risks, Lieutenant.
Very well, Captain. Engines are ready. But I wouldn't recommend going at that speed for more than a few minutes. Magnetic constrictors could disengage at any moment.
Understood. Bridge out. All decks, we're preparing to go to warp 9.5. Hold on. Mr. Landstrom, divert secondary power to the structural integrity system.
Aye, sir. Structural integrity field is holding at 178%.
Computer, override warp system restrictions. Identification Romano, 328 Gamma Echo.
Security authorization accepted.
Engage.
Back online. Damage report.
There's a warp 4 microfracture, and we have all breaches on decks 5, 7, and 13.
Target the lead vessel's weapon systems and return fire.
Aye, Captain. Firing all phases.
Continue firing, Jensen. Set a course away from the alien vessels.
Aye, sir. New course 534, Mark 215. Full impulse.
Captain, we have a hull breach on deck 4, section 3. Emergency force fields are not responding.
Evacuate that deck. Mr. Cranston, any change in their shield grid?
Negative, Captain. Our weapons aren't doing a single thing to their shields. It's like we're shooting blanks.
Divert power to the structural integrity field. Ensign, prepare to...
Activate emergency force fields.
Medical emergency, main bridge. Captain is down.
Star Trek, Pioneers. Starring Wayne Wilkening as Captain Sebastian Romano. Laura Post as Commander Jennifer Loretti. Lee Andrew as Lieutenant Commander Charles Bergen. Kevin Cho Tipton as Lieutenant Kenneth Cho. Carl Puder as Lieutenant Sitak. Christina Williams as Lieutenant Commander Charlene Jennison. Jake Roper as Captain Jake Roper. And Sean Corey as Commander Richard Baudol. Brought to you by Pioneer Productions. Based on Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Star Trek, Pioneers.
Admiral's log. Stardate 55010.8. It's been 6 days since we lost contact with the Orlando. I've ordered all ships in this sector on high alert. Meanwhile, Captain Romano is getting settled on his new ship. I must say I was surprised that he got the Pioneer. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, but out of all the... Computer, pause recording. Enter. Ah, yes. Captain Romano, how are you? Breaking in the Pioneer, I suspect.
I'm fine, sir. I must say the Pioneer is amazing. I'm used to the old Excelsior-class ships. I mean, the Pioneer is... well, it's huge.
Yes, she's a fine ship. First of her class. We expect great things out of her, as well her captain.
Thank you, sir. Do we know anything more about the Vortex, why it collapsed, or anything new on the Orlando?
We sent the Akira and the Brisbane to the Nebula. So far, by all the information we've collected, it looks like the Orlando was taken through the subspace Vortex, just as you reported when you got back. So far, it seems that the Vortex is in a state of flux between subspace and normal space. It's slowly losing and regaining stability every few hours. Luckily, one of our probes, the Akira, sent a few hours ago picked up this message.
And against the Federation Starfleet, any vessel in the area. We've been attacked by an unknown alien force. We need assistance. Repeat, this is Commander Jensen of the Federation Starship Orlando.
Is that it?
That's it. Which leads us to assume the Orlando is still out there. So I'm ordering you and the Pioneer to find the Orlando, and determine what happened.
But you said the subspace vortex was going through some state of interspatial flux. That means there's no guarantee it won't collapse again.
Yes, but based on the data the Akira and the Brisbane collected, we think the subspace vortex collapsed because of the weapons fire when the Orlando was attacked. According to what we can tell, they used some kind of highly charged antiprotons, which phased through subspace to break through conventional shields.
How did you find that out? I thought there wasn't anything left out there.
The Akira and the Brisbane have detected small tears in normal space. We were lucky to detect them. Their diameter is less than 0.03 microns. Subspace weapons are unpredictable. That's why they were banned, and they're the only thing we know that causes these kind of tears in normal space.
Anything else, sir?
I believe Jake Roper, the captain of the Rainmaker, is a friend of yours.
Since the Academy.
Good. The Rainmaker is also docked here at Starbase 415. It will accompany you through the subspace vortex. The Omaha and Corian will arrive 2 hours after you, and will follow you into the subspace vortex. They'll begin setting up a base of operations on the other side. The Akira and the Brisbane will remain behind and wait for a signal from you, should you need assistance.
Understood.
Good. You leave in 20 minutes.
20 minutes? But, sir, we haven't even tested the new refractive shielding yet. It's the closest thing we have to a cloaking device, and with this mission, it could come in handy.
We don't have enough time. We've already waited too long. We must find the Orlando as soon as possible.
Very well, sir.
Dismissed. Oh, and good luck, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
Captain on the bridge.
At ease. Is everything ready, Commander?
Yes, sir. All systems report maximum efficiency. We're ready to get underway.
Excellent. Well, now who are you?
Lieutenant, Junior Grade, Kenneth Cho. I'm replacing Mr. Landstrom as your Chief Tactical Officer.
I see. Welcome to the Pioneer, Mr. Cho.
Thank you, Captain.
Captain, he just graduated from the Academy. He was in the top of his class. Problem is, he hasn't had any combat experience. But he's all that was available.
I thought he looked young for Chief Tactical Officer, but I'm sure he'll do fine. Mr. Bergen, hail the docking master. Tell them we're preparing to depart.
Aye, sir. We're ready.
Very well, Mr. Bergen. Take us out.
Thrust is engaged. We've cleared docking ring. We are free to navigate.
Set a course for the Lukai Planetary Nebula, Warp 8. Commander Loretti, signal the Rainmaker. Tell them we're preparing to depart.
Aye, sir. Captain Roper says they're ready to follow us to the Nebula.
Excellent. Mr. Bergen, engage. status?
We've exited warp and are approaching the nebula's outer perimeter. Main sensors have only 15% resolution due to radiolytic interference.
And the Rainmaker?
She's dropped out of warp. Captain Roper is signaling us.
On screen.
Sebastian, sensors can't detect anything except for the anomaly inside the nebula.
Walking right into a trap. Yes, we've been thinking the same thing, but we have no choice. We'll send a probe ahead of us. It should give us some warning if there's anything at the vortex.
Very well. We'll follow you in. Roper out.
Mr. Satak, launch a Class 4 probe. Keep it steady at 150 kilometers ahead of us.
Understood, sir. Probe launched. We are beginning to receive sensor telemetry.
Any sign of other ships?
No, sir.
Mr. Cho, tactical status?
Engineering reports all torpedo and phaser systems are online and ready. Shields are operating at 100% efficiency and the new refractive shielding is on standby.
Very good. Mr. Cho, put me on all decks.
You're on, Captain.
This is Captain Romano. I know everyone is still getting settled in, but right now I need each of you to work as the well-rounded team we've always been. That's why we were selected for the Pioneer. For all of the new crew members that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, welcome to the Pioneer. Commander Loretti has already informed you of our mission. We'll be traveling through the subspace vortex to the edge of the Beta and Delta quadrants, nearly 60,000 light-years from here. This is an area of space where no Federation starship has been before, a truly new frontier. Our friends and colleagues aboard the Orlando need our help, and together we will provide it. Romano out. Mr. Bergen, take us to the vortex.
Thrust is engaged.
Captain, we're entering the vortex.
Status.
Captain, we've exited the vortex. Damage reports are coming in. Minor hull stress on decks 13 through 14. A plasma conduit exploded on deck 6. No injuries. Other than that, we're fine, Captain.
And the Rainmaker?
Sensors indicate they've lost main power. Their shield system is offline, as well as their main weapon systems.
Be prepared to send engineering teams over to the Rainmaker to assist repairs. I don't want to get underway until both ships are back to normal.
Aye, Captain.
I'll be in the science lab. I want to look over the data we collected while passing through the vortex. Mr. Satak, I could use your help.
Very well, sir.
Commander, you have the bridge. See if Captain Roper needs help with repairs.
Aye, sir.
Engineering, report.
Cunning here, Captain. The subspace turbulence inside the vortex was so great it took out our main power systems. We've lost all weapon systems as well, Captain. We're trying to get auxiliary power back online. But it might take a few minutes. We'll keep you informed, Captain. Engineering out.
Captain, Commander Loretti on the Pioneer is hailing us.
On screen.
Sir, Captain Romano asked me to inform you we're prepared to assist you in repair efforts, if you need help over there.
We would gladly appreciate it. We've got some wounded here, and the doctor's one of them.
Understood, Captain. But what about your EMH system?
I've never really liked trusting medicine to computer projection.
I see. I'll see what I can do. We've already dispatched the engineering teams. Their shuttle should reach you in a few moments.
Thank you, Commander. I'm sure it'll help.
No problem, sir. Pioneer out.
I'll be in Docking Bay 4. Tell the Chief to meet me there. I'd like him to be there when the engineering team from Pioneer arrive.
Aye, Captain.
Captain's log. Stardate 55019.6. We've launched additional probes to search for the Orlando. So far, nothing has turned up. Not even debris. The distress call found earlier is no longer detectable. The Rainmaker's condition has improved, but they're struggling to keep main power online. Once that's corrected, we'll begin a system-by-system search for the Orlando. Computer, save log entry. Any leads, Mr. Satak?
Not yet, Captain, but the probes have not yet reached their maximum range. It is most likely that the Orlando, if still intact, will be located somewhere near the...
Captain, sensors have detected 4 incoming vessels. Unknown origin. They'll be here in less than 2 minutes.
Red alert! All hands, battle stations. Why didn't we detect them sooner?
They're masking their warp signatures by distorting it, causing it to appear as background sensor noise.
Are they the same species that attacked the Orlando?
Impossible to determine. Other than the Orlando, no ship was close enough to identify the vessels.
Captain, I'm detecting an increase in power output from the alien vessels. They're charging weapons.
Tactical analysis, Mr. Cho?
Captain, it looks like their weapons use a type of highly charged anti-protons. Against those, our defense systems won't stand up very long.
Prepare to fire a full spread of quantum torpedoes right when they exit warp. Have them detonate at their exit point.
Aye, Captain. Torpedoes ready.
Now, Mr. Cho. Detonate on my mark. Detonate. Good work, Mr. Cho. Now target all weapons on the lead vessel. Fire.
Firing at will.
Cho, target their warp propulsion system.
Captain, the lead alien vessel has just launched some type of highly concentrated energy burst directly towards us. I've put it on screen, Captain. All hands, brace for him.
You have been listening to Star Trek Pioneers, Episode 1, New Frontiers, featuring the voice talents of Wayne Wilkening, Laura Post, Carl Puder, Lee Andrew, Kevin Cho Tipton, Adam Garber, Christina Williams, Sean Corey, Stacey Virgo, and Charles Cadwaller. This episode was produced, directed, and written by Ken Chang and assisted by Wayne Wilkening. Audio mixing and effects by Ken Chang. Final editing was done by the entire cast and crew. And a special thanks to Dave Barry and Carlos Pedraza for their tremendous help on the development of the series. Stay tuned to Star Trek Pioneers, August 2004, for Episode 2.